The beginning of Parshas Amar tells us about Pesulei Kahuna, the various categories of women that a kohen is not permitted to marry. Yishas v'nav v'chalala yikachu. So you have both a chalala and a halal. What is the definition of a chalala or a halal? So if you take a look here in Shulchan Aruch, Evan Ezra Simon Zayin, Se'if Yud Beis, Ezo yichalala, Zusha Nolda me'Yisurei Kahuna. So the product of a union that is ushered specifically to a kohen. Kagon kohen hed yishabala zona, o'ala grusha, Kohen gadol shaba alein or almana or shenasa beula baaleha or eil neschalu l'olam. V'im holin mimena bein zeshechila bein acher havlad bein shuzachah bein shinakeva chalal. So the product of a union that's ushered to a kohen creates chalalas. If it's a female, it's going to be a chalala. A male is going to be a chalal. So any regular iser that's an usher on all of Klai Yisrael as a whole, so a Kohen is Balanida, that doesn't create Chalalas. It's an Isser that's specific to a Kohen that creates Chalalas. What is the consequence of being a Chalal? So if you take a look at Rashi, Imsachim, Ayin Beis, Amin Beis, third page of the Marmer Kamos, three lines from the bottom, Ben Grusha, Kohen Chalal, Zar Gomerhu, Dechsev, Bekohen, Anozi Grusha, Lo Yichalal, Zaro, Shemachal Lamidin Kuna. So a chalal means a zar, that if someone is a chalal, he is considered as a non kohen ulchal davar bein lakula bein lachumra. So he's mutter l'tamim. He is not restricted by the various restrictions that apply to a kohen. On the other hand, he doesn't get any of the privileges of a kohen. He's considered as a zar bein lakula bein lachumra. If you look at the Prima Gadim two pages later, in Hilchas Berakos Kohanim, Simen Kuf Kav Ches, Mishpatozav Sif Katan Beis. So the Prima Gadim points out that if a halal duchens, then he violates an assay just like a regular czar. So we treat him as a czar, l'chal davar. If he were to duchen, he'd be in the same violation of any czar who is no say as kapav. So a chalal is considered a czar, bein l'kul bein l'chumra, as opposed to a suffic chalal. So take a look at Simon Zayin Se'if Kaf in Shulchan Aruch, the second page of the handout. Kohen Shabal suffic zona, o suffic grusha, o suffic chalutza, Harizu Safi Khalala, Uvlada Safi Khalal, Vinosin Allah Khumre Kohanim Khumre Yisrael, Eino Akhabatruma, Eino Matami Lamesim, Vinosi Isha Ruyula Kohen, Vibachal Nimma, Vinosa Grusha, Makamas and Makas Mardis. So if you have a Safi Khalal, so then you have to take the Khumras of both directions. We treat him with the Khumras of a non Kohen and the Khumras of a Kohen. So that's the worst of both worlds. And that's a discussion I think we discussed in the past, whether there's an iser of a kohen to marry the product of an akum eber babas Yisrael. A kohen is not allowed to marry the daughter of a non-Jewish father, even if the mother is Jewish. That's simple. Simon Dalet and Evan Ezer. The question is whether such a union would create halalus. So that's three opinions in poskim. Yes, no, maybe. And we generally are choshish for the maybe. The maybe is essentially a safik halal. So that's the worst of both worlds again. You don't have the kulas of a halal or the chumras of a halal. Sometimes you have situations where someone wants to be a halal. Sometimes you have situations where someone wouldn't want to be a halal. If you have someone who's ostensibly a kohen who wants to marry a grusha, who wants to marry the product of an eved of Achman Bas Yisrael, someone that's also a kohen, so it would be very convenient for him if he was a halal, if he could determine that maybe his mother was Nivala Lenachri before she married his father, or his mother was a grusha, and he's a halal, and then he'd be able to marry this woman who's otherwise a Sula Kohen. Sometimes a person wouldn't want to be a Chalal because he's Mukhzak as a Kohen and he's been getting the first Aliyah and Duchening all his life, and it would be extremely embarrassing to him if he discovered one day that he was a Chalal and had to stop all that. So in Besdin work, we sometimes deal with both sides of this issue, the people that want us to prove that they're Chalalim and the people who want us to prove that they're not Chalalim, there's one psak that I came across for the recent Piska Dinner of Baniyim, This is from 2003, Bezdin in Be'er Sheva, written by Rabbi Tzion Iloz, who we remember from Karmi Avna, who used to be a rabbi in Karmi Avna, now is on the Beit Din HaGadol. He was promoted, he was previously a dayan in Be'er Sheva. It says, Rabbi Tzion Luz dash Iloz. His name used to be Iloz, and then he shortened it to Luz, because I think the story was that he was concerned at the time of the anti-Sephardi bias in the dayanim world. So he thought the job process would be better if he got rid of the shame, the Moroccan Muvak name of Iloz. And then nowadays, it's the opposite, that you have a much better chance of becoming a Dayan Ersil for your Sephardi because of all the Shas influence and their say in the world of Batei Din. So things go in both directions. Anyway, so the Psak Din over here from 2003 was about a couple that came in front of the Bez Din for a get. And the person was the husband was a Kohen, non-religious people. And in the course of the proceedings, he claimed that he discovered that his wife was previously divorced before he married her. He claimed that when they got married, he didn't know she was a Grusha. And then he discovered afterwards that she was a Grusha, which would make his kids Halalim. And the reason he claimed this was ostensibly because he thought that would get him off the hook of having to pay the Ksuba. Which happened to not been the case, does this guy have nemanus to passel his kids as chalalim? In general, there's a principle of yakir, that a father has nemanus to determine the status and the eligibility of his children, and if he says that he's married to a grusha, so then his kids would be chalalim, and nothing else to do about that. But here, the story was that his representation was the reason he didn't know that she was a grusha when they got married, and he only found out because his father-in-law said something, and he didn't have any first-hand knowledge. So that's a question whether the nemanus of Yakir applies if your information is second-hand. And anyway, here, then the father said, no, he didn't really mean that she was a grusha. He meant that she was engaged to someone, they broke the engagement. And that's when he said she was a grusha, he didn't really mean halachically, just socially she was a grusha because she broke a shidduch. So, under the circumstances where he seemed to have a motivation to claim this, and it wasn't based on his own representation, and there was an amasla to explain where this information might have come from, so Rabbi Iloz Luz paskened that he didn't have nemanus at least to passel the children, and the children were not rendered halalim, and when they become of age, would be free to marry freely as a kohen, without the restrictions of kahuna. If someone is a halal, so then the consequences of that do continue, that the daughters of a halal are not allowed to marry a kohen. So halal has none of the kahuna restrictions, but the daughter of a halal, or halala, for subsequent generations, would be asul a kohen. So that's of relevance to note. Rasha Weiss has a tshuva, was previously printed in Minchas Asher LaTorah, and then reprinted in Chelek Aleph of Tshuvas Minchas Asher Simen Mem Ches. This is the same story that the famous case in the American Rabbinate a number of years ago of a relatively prominent or formerly prominent pulpit rabbi who was a Kohen, and at one point he sent a letter to his previous Baal Batim that he did some research and discovered that his mother actually was a Grusha when she was married to his father, and he was there for a halal, and he was willing to return all the Pidyon HaBen money to all the Kohenim all the people that he did a Pidyon HaBen for over the years. So he sent a letter that he would return the money, and they would have to do another Pidyon HaBen. So the shaila here is that necessarily the case? Let's say you have a person who is a mufsak as a Kohen, and then at some point information comes to the fore that he's really a halal and he did all these Pidyon HaBens. So do you have to return the money, and do the people need to do another Pidyon HaBens? So he points out that at first glance, this may be dependent on how you understand the Mishnah in Trumas and Periches, which is discussed in the Gemara in Kiddushin, and Daf Samech Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara towards the bottom, before the Mishnah, Samech Vav Amud Beis, has a Machlokes, which is a Mishnah in Trumos. So what's the din if you have a Kohen who is believed to be a proper Kohen, and then he finds out that he actually was a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. He actually was Nischal L'Kahuna and was not eligible to do the Avodah. So what is the status of the Avodah that he had done previously? Is that possible? Is that kosher? So that's the machlokas tanam, machlokas or blazer and Rabbi Shua. Do we say avadasa pesulah, avadasa kshera? Do we say that it's only that he is considered a halal mikan l'haba, but any avoda that he did previously is going to be kosher? Or do we say that once we determine that he was a halal, then the avoda is all possible limafreya? So we paskin that avodasa kshera. When it comes to a ben grusha ben chalutz who did avoda not knowing his status, the avoda mafreya was kosher, and it's only mikana l'haba that he's going to be pasul. So the way Rav Asher frames the question, is that a din that's unique to avoda? Avoda, and perhaps by extension truma, because truma is also considered to be a form of avoda, or is that a din in kol haTorah kula that any action that's done by a kohen that requires a kahuna status, if he doesn't yet know that he's a halal, is going to be kosher and doesn't need to be redone, even if he subsequently finds out at a later point that he was a halal. So at first he says maybe that should be dependent on this question. Is this a din unique to the avoda? Would we say avodas kshera, or does it apply to any matter of kahuna? In which case it would apply to pidyon haben as well. So that is a somewhat unanswered question, lahalacha. Yes, Mar Makomos back and forth. He points out that there's a Gemara in Makos Yud Aleph that sounds very much like it's a kol haTorah kula din. The Gemara there discusses what happens if you have a Kohen Gadol who finds out that he's a Ben Grusha. So is the Rotzeach Yotzei Meir Miklat B'Misas is Kohen Gadol who was a Ben Grusha Ben Chusa? If you have a Kohen Gadol, if you have multiple Kohanim Gadolim, let's say you have to replace the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur, so you have that situation of two Kohanim Gadolim functioning at the same time. So the din is that the person is Yosef Yer Miklat if either one of them dies. So here you had a Kohen Gadol who had the status of Kohen Gadol, then he finds out that he's a Ben Grusha. What happens if he dies? Is that enough to let the Roskim leave the Yer Miklat? So the Raman there, Paskins, that's the Machlokas and the Gemara over there, and the Rambam Paskins, Perek Zayin, Rosea Halachi Yud Beis, that the Bala Kahuna and the Rotzeach is not Yotzei Meir Miklat. So that sounds like, for other matters, we don't consider him to be a Kohen once he, even Lemafreya, once, sorry. Right, so we don't consider this to have bearing on his status beyond the vote. By vote, we say about the sechera, but when it comes to other matters, he's not considered a kohen at all. So that may be a raya. Bottom line, Rav Asher thinks that it really ends up being a sveika didina. So sveika didina by mamonis, you would say hamosi mechaver lavaraya. So if you wanted to claim your money back from the kohen, so you'd have to say prove that you owe it. And given that this may be a sveika didina, you can't necessarily prove that. So technically speaking, he'd be pater from returning the money. And then what about the need to do another pidyon haben? So Rav Asher here has a chiddush that two things. First of all, as far as the money, even though technically speaking you may be right, that amosim mechaver alav haraya. However, there's an anan sadi that whoever gave the money to the kohen b'taris pidyon haben would be mochel on the money if demanding it back would cause unnecessary embarrassment to the kohen. You know, the kohen finds out that he's a halal. It's not a very pleasant situation. It's going to be kind of embarrassing to have to go back to everyone he ever did a pidyon haben for and tell them, oops. So in that situation, to avoid embarrassment, there's an anansadi that people would be mochel the money. Okay, that's chiddush one. And then chiddush number two, he says, okay, but still, you should have to do another pidyon haben. So don't you have to inform all these people that you're no longer a Kohen, you weren't a Kohen, and they have to do another Pidyon HaBen? So here he suggests that maybe you could do the Pidyon HaBen on their behalf, Ayideh Shaliach. So maybe you don't have to tell the father that that they need to do another Pidyon HaBen. Maybe Pidyon HaBen could be done even without the knowledge of the parties themselves, Ayideh Shaliach. Can you be Podeh Saman Shalom Midaita? So that's a machlokas. The Ramah Paskins, that doesn't work. The Ramah in Simon Shin Hei and the Simon of Pidyon HaBen Paskins, that doesn't work. But there is another opinion. There's a Gon and the Machan Ephraim, he quotes, to say that it does work. So even though in general we should Paskin like the Ramah, but here where there's this consideration of the Shas Tzadchak and the embarrassment, and anyway, maybe it's a Sveika Lidina to begin with, so Rav Asher thinks you can rely on the position of the Gon and the Machan Ephraim that you could be... you could affect the pidyon haben without the knowledge of the party that you're being poda, And maybe that would be the appropriate thing to do in this situation. So that's his bottom line suggestion. Minchas Asher, Chelek Aleph, Simen Memches. This is already discussed in Piskei Tshuva. Piskei Tshuva in Simen Shin Hei, which I think you have here in the Bar Mekomis as well, the last page. Sif Paten Hei. So he quotes discussion here as to what level of proof is necessary to determine that someone is indeed a halal and would have to return the pinyan of ben money. So he assumes that an edach isn't sufficient unless the kohen himself is mod lekach, but otherwise that wouldn't be sufficient edus. But in principle, the Chavis Gera seems to assume that you would have to return the pinyan of ben money if you determined with proper halachic evidence that indeed the person was a halal. Okay. Another issue that comes up is, let's say you do have a halal or safi halal, how do you reference that designation in halachic documents like kesubos and gittin? So there is a consideration when it comes to kesubos. This is what there's a psak din here, Piska Din Rabbanayim from about a year ago by Rav Eliyahu Ariel Edri of Tel Aviv. He points out that in ksubas we do have a notion that sometimes a ksuba can be used to make certain determinations of best status, and certain notations that we make in ksubas reflect that. So for example, the din is that if a woman gets remarried as an almana or a grusha, you have to make that notation in the ksuba, because a person might look at the ksuba and without that notation would think that this woman has no restriction on her remarriage prospects. If it says that she's a grusha, matrachta, there's some designation, so then we know that she's going to be a surah lekohen. That the Rambam already writes, Yibim v'chalitza perek dalet alachi lamedalet, Yibim v'chalitza perek dalet alachi lamedalet, and the Magen Mishnah there writes, Tikun na'ahu. So that's a good idea to make such designation so that people don't make mistakes. So the same could be true by a halal as well. A halal is a surah lekohen. So you want to designate or make some notation in the tzubah of that fact. So what is appropriate? So there is a tshuva, the Minchas Yitzchak. Minchas Yitzchak Dayan Weiss in Chelek Bey Simen Kuf Lamed Aleph. He's writing there about a Suffolk Halal, but it's relevant to a Halal as well. So how do you designate a Suffolk Halal in a Ksuba? So to write Ploni HaChalal, he thinks the assumption is that would be somewhat embarrassing. So his recommendation is maybe you could write Ploni ben Ploni HaKohen. So that's a true statement. The father of the Chalal is a Kohen. The son's not a Kohen, but the father's still a Kohen. If a Kohen marries a Grusha, he's Nischalel, he doesn't become a Chalal. It means his children are going to be Chalal. He's still a proper Kohen. Once he's married to a Grusha, he can't keep with him for that reason, because he's married Bisser, but he's not a halachic halal. So then you could write Ploni ben Ploni HaKohen. That's a true statement. I, in the middle of the ksuba, doesn't have the ben Ploni. So the first time the chassan's name is mentioned, the last time the chassan's name is mentioned, it's Ploni ben Ploni. In the middle, it just says chassan denan. So the Minchas suggests you should write a ksuba from scratch. Don't use the forms that only have this small, the tiny line to write Chassan Danan, then you won't have enough place to write Ploni Ben Ploni HaKohen. So you have to write the Ksuba from scratch, and then you leave enough space so you write Ploni Ben Ploni HaKohen all the times in the middle of the Ksuba. That's his suggestion. This psak by Rabbi Edri is not so enamored by that, because that doesn't give you the full picture. He says, so you're going to write Ploni ben Ploni HaKohen, so you'll think that they're regular Kohanim. And you may come to make a mistake about whether this person is considered a Halal and not be aware of that. He quotes that Rav Shturmach is quoted in a previous volume of Piskei Din Yerushalayim, when it comes to a Halala, that you should write two Ksubas. You should have the real Ksuba and the fake Ksuba. So he says you actually sign both of them, that under the chuppah sign one ksuba before that where it doesn't say anything about kuhin at all, so just Ploni ben Ploni or Plonius bas Ploni, no mention of anything, don't say kuhuna by her, don't say kuhuna by her father, and then after the chuppah is over, then you should switch it, give her another ksuba, that's going to be the real ksuba, where it says plonis chalala bas ploni hakohen. And then there should be a notation that she's not Ksheru Lakuna. Interesting. So he thinks that you should write two Ksubas.
Just
doesn't mean
that it's halala. You need to add that specifically. She's also a
suru lakuna. Right. That's what it sounds like he's saying, or maybe he means just to make a note of that in the file. It sounds like he's saying that in the tzuba. I'm not sure. In the sefer mishpat tzuba, he doesn't think it's such a big deal to write ploni ben ploni hakohen, or even ploni ben ploni. Rav Yoshi was quoted as saying that that you don't have to write a chala. You can write. Sounds like ploni ben ploni. So you're not saying he's a kohen. You're not saying he's a chalal. Just plain ploni ben ploni. So his maskan in this tshuva is that if the person's a real chalal and we have edus that he's a chalal, so then you should actually write a chalal in the ksuba. If we don't have edus, so then you should just make a notation in the file that you file with the Rabbanut in their office, so then there's some notation of the Chalalus, and you write in the real Ksuba, Ayin Behete Ksuba. So look at the copy that's filed with the Rabbanut. That's what he recommends. So what do we do with Gittin? So I've had a couple times a situation of someone that I knew to be a halal in a get. So I asked Rav Notar Greenblatt what he does. So he told me that he had two halalim in his long storied career. And this is a few years ago, maybe he had another one since. But he said in his 60 years of being Masadur Git that he had two halalim, and he wrote Ploni HaChalal Ben Ploni. Which is interesting. Meir Arik is quoted as saying that in Refelder Sefer, in the Nachlet Tzvi. It's a little bit curious because the Ged is Lashon Abal. So a person wouldn't usually refer to himself as a Chalal, unless he's really proud of it. Usually, you know, we don't write non-complimentary. If a person has a nickname that he doesn't like, we don't usually write in the Ged if people call him that. So it's not a complimentary title. But that's what Rav Nazar told me he did. And the practice in our Beis Din has been to just leave out Kohen entirely, to write Ploni Ben Ploni. So it's not saying that he's a Kohen, it's not saying that he's a Chalal, and the truth is that the Psak of the Mechaber is you never write a Kohen even for a Kohen. It's our practice, based on the Ramah, is that we designate Kohanim Leviim as Kohen Levi. The Mechaber never writes Kohen Levi, so a lot of the Sephardi Batei Din never write Kohen Levi for Kohen Levi. Now, it's just all the HBH, those that follow the Psalm of the Beis Yosef straight, the best in its fat, the Marad Asra, so everything's Beis Yosef, even the Ashkenazim, even by the Ashkenazim. And other Batei didn't do right Kohanim, so HBH. So then you're safe. And then anyway, when it comes to a get, no one's actually looking at the get, you're looking at the Ptur. So the document of record is the two deskerish in the Ptur, so then you make a notation, like we often make many notations about personal status matters on the get. So there's no concern, if you don't write a chal on the get, there's no concern that someone's going to see the get and think that he is a chal, is not a chal, not know, because you'll make a notation in the Ptur that the husband is a chal. Others write ploni ben ploni hakohen, like the Minchas Yitzchak suggested for the Ksuba. Because again, that's also a true statement. The father is a Kohen. So, the consideration that maybe people make an erroneous assumption that this person is a proper Kohen, that could be effectively dismissed by making a notation in the Ptur. So in practice, there seems to be three options in a get, and presumably by Yitzchak as well, to write Ploni HaChalal Ben Ploni, or Ploni HaChalal Ben Ploni HaKohen, to write Ploni Ben Ploni a Kohen, or to write Ploni Ben Ploni plain without any reference to a Kohen, and all of those seem to have some merit. In a Ksuba, the more, I'm talking about a common practice, it seems the more sensible practice would be to write Ploni ben Ploni a Kohen or Ploni ben Ploni, and if there needs to be a notation made, we don't have the same system as Rabbanut to put in the file. But with a halal, there's less of a concern than a halala as to whether there could be any mistake made about their status. One final psak, also in recent years, by the Beis Din Yerushalayim of Yosef Goldberg, Baal Mechaber of Tivo Shalget, two volumes in Eilakof and Lahotzi and Gamusa, a number of wonderful volumes on Hilchos Gittin. So his shaila was, Yeshiva Bacher appeared in front of the Beis Din, from one of the top yeshivos, doesn't say which one, and his father apparently related that he grew up in a secular house. Going back three generations, they're all non-observant, but he was told by his father that he was a Kohen, and he was married to a Grusha. Then they got divorced and became Baal Tshuva. So ostensibly, the son should be a Chalal. So people wanted to suggest, well, they did some research into the first wedding of the mother, and one of the Eidim was Pasul, so maybe the first wedding was never a good wedding, and she wasn't really a Grusha. So that's the issue we discussed previously, not so Pashut, definitely within the Ashkenazi poskim, if there are other people in the room who were Shomer Shabbos, so those are also Eidim, the Chazon Sofer, now that the Ma'ariv revile, not for now, so he's not willing to go with that, but he does point out that the Yediya of Kahuna is somewhat questionable, because this person came from three generations of non-observant Jews, and no one had any kahuna practices. There's no representation of the family that they got an aliyah, or they didn't go to cemeteries, or they did anything to identify as kohanim. They didn't have a last name that in any way implies kahuna, not that that would be right either. And given that, the whole representation of kahuna was based on something that this person who was raised in a non-observant environment heard from his father in no other context without any other evidence. So he thought that in this case there is insufficient evidence of kahuna, and the whole family should stop being maxic themselves as kohanim, so the kid wouldn't be a chalal, but he wouldn't be a kohen either. Only slightly less embarrassing. Right. Right, so here's bottom line. Right, so I guess you can't have it both ways. So not a challah, but would have to stop practicing as a kohen. Okay.